This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is PJ Hrabowski, Music Director for KUAF. Welcome back.
Hi, Kyle. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Holidays go well for you?
They did, and very, very fast. How about yourself?
Actually, it went the right amount of time.
Okay.
I was ready to get back to work when I came back to work.
I'm always ready to get, you know, I don't know. We're very lucky.
Yes, we are.
To work here, because I never feel bad about coming back to work.
And so we're in this great mood, and the soundtrack we're going to talk about today, I bet, is one of the, from some uplifting, happy movie.
Super happy. It's called Cape Fear.
Cape Fear. Which one?
Yes.
That's right, because music from the first one you hear in the second one.
Yes. I know, that's unusual. I thought I'd talk a little bit about the movies first. You know, the first one was released in 1962 by Universal Pictures, directed by J. Lee Thompson. Then, after almost 30 years later, Martin Scorsese put his own spin on the classic. And although there are many similarities to the movie, there are also some major differences. Now, the major differences focus on three characters. Can you guess which three?
Well, Gregory Peck, who's the father, and then later is played by Nick Nolte
right.
in the second one.
Okay.
The creepy guy,
right.
who is De Niro in the second,
Max
and is played
Petey.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and is played in the first by Robert Mitchum.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mother?
Nope.
The daughter, of course.
Right. Yeah. In the 1962 version, Sam Bowden was played by Gregory Peck. And he kind of had some of the qualities you remember it as Atticus Finch, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, in the 1961 version, he was, Bowden actually was simply a witness whose testimony sent Max Cady to prison. Bowden was portrayed as a very good and honest family man. He had a happy home life. His daughter greets him with a hug when he gets home from the office. His wife is very happy to see him. And you see the family out together, bowling together, having a good time. We see Bowden as a good father, a loving husband. And actually, remember when he has to hire the men to beat Katie in the alleyway of a bar?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we all felt that he was a good man. He had been driven to desperation for fear of safety of his family. And he wasn't seeking some kind of sadistic pleasure in having hurt Katie. And it was just a last resort in an attempt to get Katie to leave his family alone. Well, later we see him perform a very selfless act when he puts himself in harm's way by hiding on lookout trying to catch Katie. Okay, now in the 1991 version, we see Bowden played by Nick Nolte, who we also think of as, you know, Nick Nolte just as a person as Atticus Finch, don't you think? No, I'm kidding.
Not really, no.
And we're presented with this corrupt lawyer who buried evidence in order to convict Katie. And he's also shown as a dishonest and unfaithful man to
That's
his
right.
wife. Their marriage doesn't seem quite so wonderful in this version. And you have Nolte's character who has hired, you know, these guys to beat Katie. And he's hiding and watching and obviously seeking pleasure from seeing Katie hurt. Also, in the houseboat scene, the entire family is hiding, including Sam. Mm-hmm. And he's not the brave man trying to protect his family like Gregory Peck was in the original. He's just as afraid as his wife and daughter. Now, let's talk about Max Cady. You know, Cady's the bad guy, of course, in both movies, but Robert Mitchum plays a much softer character in the 1962 version. He's not an intimidating-looking man, and he's not as tough as the Scorsese Cady. Of course, he's a thug. He does what he wants when he wants. He acts very confident. He's smart. He carries out his plans and eludes the police. Now, Katie in the 1991 version is more sinister, scary looking. In fact, I think he could be the devil, Kyle.
Yeah, I think they make him just evil incarnate.
Oh, you know, he's cocky, he's violent, he's a madman with murder in his intent. And not only is he street smart, but we find out he's pretty intelligent and very knowledgeable in psychology as well. And we see this in a big way in his relationship with Bowden's daughter.
Played by Juliette Lewis in the second film.
Right. Now, The next character is the one that changes maybe most in the films, and that's Bowden's daughter. She undergoes a name change, an age, and her character also changes. Now, in 1961, she's a young girl named Nancy, and we've seen that she's a good kid who's well-behaved, has a happy relationship with her family. Her only feeling for Katie is fear. She doesn't have much one-on-one interaction with the man in the 61 version. Now, in the Scorsese version, she's a very sexually aware teenager named Danielle. And we're not even sure she's quite right. And we see her relationship with her parents as kind of a rocky one. She's more of a problem child. She smokes pot, has to go to summer school, and has this weird kind of sick attraction to Max Cady. She has these feelings of closeness to him, and she keeps her contact with him a secret. Although Bernard Herrmann actually scored two movies for Martin Scorsese, he was only aware of one, and that was Taxi Driver.
Right.
The other, Cape Fear, was written for the 62 version, directed, as I said, by J. Lee Thompson. It was actually arranged and adapted by Elmer Bernstein for the 1991 movie. And while there are always plenty of composers who are skillful enough to write music for this kind of movie, only someone like Bernard Herrmann could have written such a classic. Now, at the beginning of the score, you hear a short brass chord that dies away, only to be interrupted by Herrmann's menacing four-note motif that permeates through much of the score. Bernstein was a great fan of Bernard Herrmann, and so his attention to detail is meticulous, and the end result is wonderful. It's, however, another one of those scores that really doesn't stand well on its own, like Psycho. A little intimidating. You know, it goes great with the movie, but when you're trying to listen to it on its own, you're thinking, I don't think I want to listen to this today.
Not from beginning to end, at least.
No.
So we'll hear music from the movies Cape Fear. What else tomorrow?
Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace.
Which is actually the fourth one made.
I know.
It's called Episode One.
I know. It's so. And then a new movie that's out, Black Swan. Also music from Somewhere in Time, Silverado, Ever After, The Bad Seed, and October Sky.
That's all tomorrow. Have you received the film score to True Grit yet?
No.
Okay.
No, and I need to see the movie, too.
Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Film Score Friday, tomorrow and every Friday from 10 until noon on KUAF. PJ, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kyle.